Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Outshine is the number one frozen fruit bar brand in America. And once you try them, it's easy to see why. Their fruit bars and mini fruit pops are made with real fruit or fruit juice using simple ingredients you can pronounce. That means no high fructose corn syrup and no artificial colors or flavors. Outshine bars are gluten-free and even a good source of vitamin C. And the flavor lineup? It's stacked. We're talking strawberry, mango, coconut, watermelon, pineapple, cherry, you name it, there's something for whatever you're craving. You've got classic fruit bars, mini fruit pops, and fruit blends that swirl multiple flavors together. Think pina colada, cherry limeade, and more. Find your new favorite refreshing snack, Outshine, at retailers nationwide.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess. But he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
No!
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 66. Jeff Lowe, Trill Ballins, Ken Jack. Sunday, July 22nd. There it is. The last Sunday? No, not the last Sunday pod of July. But we're getting close. We're getting close to the one-year anniversary. It's our first ever Comic-Con episode, basically. We're not there. We're not in San Diego, but we're going to talk about Comic-Con.
Hey, guys. Nope, we're not at Comic-Con. But if we were, we'd be the coolest motherfuckers there.
And it would be mid-afternoon right now and not 7-ish.
Yeah, time zones. It's crazy.
Yeah, time zones are nuts. There is a lot of trailers, so this is going to be a lot of talk about new trailers. We're going to do some listener questions, or excuse me, audience questions as well.
You did it again.
Got it again.
You big, dumb goofball.
I should change the template. I'm going to change the template on my rundown right now. Audience questions. Okay. So let's just get right into Comic-Con. San Diego Comic-Con 2018. Lots of big stuff. Everything really but Marvel, because they just don't do it anymore. They've been done with Comic-Con. We do have Marvel news. We'll get to after the Comic-Con. Sorry. There we go.
So far, so good, boys.
That, yeah, good start.
That lount.
Good start.
Yeah.
off that dank.
Aquaman. That trailer released. Much hype about that one. Would you say that's the most hyped trailer, the one that people... like that was most talked about going in?
Probably. It had to be.
Yeah.
I mean, the conversation is either that, Shazam, or Godzilla, and you'd have to give it to Aquaman just because that's the biggest property.
And we'll pick which one we like the most and which one we like the least. Well, let's talk about Aquaman. Let's see here. It's got... oh, this is the United Kingdom Warner Brothers. Bad example. I'm trying to say how many views it's got. I'll get to it in a second. We'll see which one is the most viewed. But... very differing opinions on this movie.
I thought that first off, it was exciting to see that Atlantis is now an actual city rather than just two people hanging out in a water bubble compared to Justice League. But there was really nothing to dislike for this trailer for me. It hit all the marks. I mean, it seemed like an exciting movie. I will say I don't like the cliche of like, oh, your stepbrother or brother is challenging you, but I mean, it's fine. It seems like it's a step forward in the right direction for the DC cinematic universe. And you combine that with Shazam, which we'll talk about, and Wonder Woman 84. I think it'll be fine. One thing I did like is Jason Momoa came out on the stage and there was this actual waterfall and he walked underneath this waterfall. That was pretty fucking cool. How could you not like that? He actually got like drenched.
Yeah, that was one of the cooler Comic-Con entrances I've seen in a while. It's like you said, it's one of the better movies of the DC universe already, which isn't a high bar to clear. But the cast is amazing. Momoa is still, I think, my favorite DC casting out of all the ones they've had so far. It's a crazy cast, really, between like him, Amber Heard, Kidman, Randall Park, who was just an Ant-Man and the Wasp, and he's hilarious. Patrick Wilson, who, again, we're a Patrick Wilson podcast. We love him here.
Big Patrick Wilson, guys.
Big Patrick Wilson, guys. It's got Dolph Lundgren, too, Willem Dafoe, Tamara Morrison, too, Jango Fett.
Yes. Isn't it? That's going to be
Aquaman's, exactly, yeah, his dad. So I'm super excited for it. I'm very high expectations for it, and I think it knows what it is, which is like a big CGI fuckfest, and it's not going to try and be too dark and gloomy or anything like that, like the rest of the DC universe. And folks, I heard a spoiler for this movie.
What's that, Ken Jack?
So Aquaman gets killed by a damn six-pack ring. Sorry, I should have given you a spoiler alert.
Folks need to stop using straws. It's just taking over 0.00001% divided by 1 million of the ocean. Yeah, so you liked it, Ken Jack. Jeff, what did you think?
Okay, so I tweeted that I liked it. And then I watched it again when I was not on the golf course and not on a small phone where I'm like half paying attention. And my opinion changed a little bit. Like, I still enjoyed it. But, like, I'm reserved, I guess. There's a few things that Kelsey and have reservations. I think Black Manta looks fucking awesome. Looks like an awesome villain. Just badass. But it's one of the things, we just got to see it underwater. We got to see how it looks. But I think as long as it's fun, like the vibe it's giving off, I think we're going to have a good time. It can have some serious elements, and I hope it does. But I'm cautious, which this may sound stupid because the next trailer we're going to talk about, I've actually gone the opposite direction I've warmed up to. But overall, I have an excitement now for this movie. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing it. Because I agree with Ken Jack, the casting of Jason Momoa is fantastic. And I think no matter how great it may look, or like, you know, how it's going to be a little different, I think he's going to carry the movie, which is, in the end, the only thing that matters.
Yeah, I mean, they had some jokes in the trailer, too, or some quips from Jason Momoa I thought were fine. I mean, look, we can't be doing this for 66 episodes and keep saying DC needs to lighten up a little bit when they do finally lighten up, not like the trailers. So it's just enough to keep me excited or get me a little more excited about the movie, but it also has to deliver in the form of an actually good movie, which I think it will. I'm gonna put it out there. I have optimism this time. Guarded optimism.
Me too. Yeah, me too. That's a good way to put it. Guarded optimism. But I would, if I were to put money on whether it's good / enjoyable or not, I would put it on the good side, not the bad side. I have confidence in it. So we'll see. That comes out in December. It's one of the last movies to come out this year. So we still have fairly long way to go on that one. Next up, Shazam, the other DC movie, which this one, as you've heard many times in this podcast, we've talked about the suit. Well, finally, they can get away from talking about the suit, I think, because they finally have actual content for people to talk about that's not just that fucking suit. And it seems as though more people thought this looked fun than I initially thought would happen. And I will say, I'm actually looking forward to seeing this movie. I think it could be an absolute disaster. And there's a couple things that are very cringeworthy. Ken Jack, I won't steal your thunder here. I'll let you say the thing that is very cringeworthy. So that worries me a little bit. Trill's already doing what Ken Jack's going to reference. But outside of that, looks like it could be kind of like goofy and weird, like almost I'm not saying Guardians, which again, we'll actually talk about Guardians later, but like the same vein of like way out there, way different. It's weird. Let's give it a chance. Maybe we'll enjoy it. So Shazam, you know what? Like, I'll say it. I'm buttering Shazam.
I'm buttering Shazam too. The suit fit in the tone of the movie. Yeah. And I still don't feel bad about making fun of the suit because it does still look ridiculous. But it's all you had to do was drop a teaser or drop a preview, add in the CGI light to the suit. It looks better. It looks like an enjoyable, funny DC movie. I like it a lot. I thought Zachary Levi looked good as the character. I like the concept. So yeah, I'm on board with the butter on this one. Did have a cringeworthy moment, just one for me, Ken Jack.
So the cringeworthy moment is obviously when he does the floss. That was very, very cringeworthy. They also have the entire second half of the trailer set to Humble by Kendrick Lamar, which doesn't really fit at all. And the entire tone of the movie, like you guys were saying, was very happy and lighthearted, which is like overall a good turn for the DC universe. But it almost seems like they went from going one in one direction entirely to like the exact opposite. There's no gradual shift there, like in between the two realms. So like, I think it's a good idea to make them less doom and gloom, like we were just saying, but just that entire tonal shift with like no like foot from like 0 to 1,000 that fast, I think is very short-sighted. And the trailer itself just, it didn't really do it for me at all. And I just don't get it. And I don't get Zachary Levi. I don't really get anybody in the cast. It just did nothing for it and moves the needle for me at all. And also, folks, this Shazam guy, he thinks he's unique because of his superpower, right? Yeah. And, you know, there is one word that would get me bigger as a teenager, too. It's called Skinamax.
When's the last time anybody has said the word Skinamax? Like 1988? I'm surprised. Good for you.
Brand notoriety is at an all-time low.
Yeah, really. Yeah, really, really going in with that Skinamax reference. So you're not excited for this? I thought you would like this the most out of any of us. I feel like you would have been happy.
Why?
With the turn. I don't know. It just,
it's been like the number one Shazam hater out of all three of us.
Yeah, but I feel like the trailer, okay, maybe it's just me, but I feel like the trailer was a lot better than anything we've seen come out of the Shazam wheelhouse of news. So
here's my, and we talked about this a little bit actually before the pod. I think we talked about it yesterday. I'm not bothered by the tonal shift. One, because we know DC is kind of quietly jiggering how they do things, and they're not going to exactly follow the Marvel model, which is fine. But we've been begging for them to change the tone, and I think this one is their version of like a Guardians or like Ant-Man, which is a much more comedic. So like, I'm okay with the Band-Aid rip. Yeah, it's a bit jarring maybe, but not for me because I've asked for this. It's like, I'm not going to complain. Like I do like that now.
Yeah.
And this is no hate on Zachary Levi, but that is the only thing that I haven't totally grasped yet. I'm not totally sure he works for me here, but again, I'm not going to base it just on the trailer. I want to see it in the movie, but I'm okay with them ripping the Band-Aid. Though I guess to an extent I could see how you could be against it. My only actual gripe with the trailer, though, is that he stops a robbery in a convenience store. And as he walks out of the convenience store, he's holding a six-pack. And then they cut to the robbers on the ground wrapped up in like Christmas lights. And it cuts back and he's holding Fritos, a Red Bull, I think some Takis, Cheetos. He's got a Slim Jim. It just changes all of a sudden. I don't know if that's like a sight gag or like some sort of joke they're trying to go.
I feel like in the movie, when he stops the robbers, the robbers are going to have those goods with them, and then they're going to flip up in the air and he's going to catch them.
Yeah, I was going to say there's definitely something that happens between those two points. I don't think that would be like just for the point of product placement or anything like that.
It could be. You never know. Maybe, but yeah, it is.
Maybe it's a different trip to the convenience store. Who knows?
It's like the reappearing shirt pocket in Mission Impossible. Just a tough week for trailer editors.
Yeah,
called out.
I do have a theory. I have a theory on that. I have a theory that happened because of the Justice League reshoots. I feel like that scene took place during all of that.
How would that impact it, though? I want to get into this. I feel like it's just lighting. I feel like he steps into a different lighting and it just looks different.
It could be. I mean, we're seeing an IMAX Thursday night, so we'll get the best look we can possibly get at it. I'm very – actually, do we want to look at that in the first showing, or do we want to pay attention to the fists? See, this is tough now.
Got to do the fists.
Yeah, so, okay, second –
let's get – we'll have fucking – what's his name? Look at the
intern,
pocket.
Bulldog. Yeah,
good old Bulldog.
One of our – not our intern. It's well, he's kind of a roving intern. He dog sits for PFT, I think. And he built the shelves for Big Cat's Pile. So he's a jack of all trades, and now he's going to pay attention to the shirt pocket and the beard.
He needs like, damn, we have an intern now?
No, we didn't. He's not our personal intern. Oh. Yeah. So yeah, that's Shazam, which trailed into Mission Impossible, which I feel like a lot of things we're going to talk about over the next week will just trail into Mission Impossible because we're very excited. So Shazam, 5.5 million views on YouTube on just the Warner Brothers one. Aquaman has 12 million, and I'm pretty sure Aquaman's the most out of all of these. So it seems like Aquaman is the one people are most looking forward to. I'll read some audience comments. I asked people to leave their thoughts. One person said, shit. Another said, I'm out. One said, looks like the perfect thing with no expectations that DC needs to get people interested again, which that's actually pretty decent. another one said, when the kid beat up the other kids with the crutches, that was cool.
oh, God.
left me more confused than I already am about Shazam. That is true. Shazam is a very confusing character. And somebody tweeted me, like, I had no idea that it's a kid that just turns into Shazam. Which is, I mean, I guess that's fair, because, like, it's not anywhere near as known as the other DC. Fun, suit still trash. New York voice, hey, I'm Shazamming over here. This could be good. It's going to be the DC version of Ant-Man, and I don't mean that in a good way. That's interesting. Look at this one. Ringing the bell of shame for Jeff and Ken Jack, who had a lot of negative thoughts because this looks great. All right.
I still think it doesn't look good. Where's the ring of shame?
Fair, fair. I'll take that. I take the ring then. Someone said has a 17 again vibe to it. Looks better than Aquaman. Intentionally
that's bullshit.
Campy. Intentionally campy and really fun. And then lastly, somebody three times commented, "Truly, just want you to yell Shazam."
Shazam!
There you go. That's good. See, that's great marketing now for Shazam. We may be sponsored by Shazam. We're just not telling you.
Plus, all you got to say is Shazam to turn into Shazam. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Like, just say the word. Say Shazam. It's like, no, I'm not going to do it. Fucking say Shazam.
Just fucking say it.
Just God bless America. Just say it.
so that's Shazam. Aquaman people liked, by the way. I forgot to read those. Though there's a lot of way too CGI heavy comments. Lots of, which it is. It does look very CGI. But I am glad. I want to go back and say that we're not going to have to watch these characters talk in like water bubbles, like in Justice League. Thank goodness. Nice. That would been terrible. All right. Trailer number three we want to get to. And this one, I don't know about you guys, but Godzilla King of the Monsters, which I didn't realize it was King of the Monsters because King of Monsters just rolled off the tongue better. But apparently it's Godzilla King of the Monsters. It's Godzilla 2. It's a follow-up to the Bryan Cranston Godzilla from a few years ago. Though it's the same Godzilla, but I mean the cast is not really exactly the same. There's a lot of new players in it. And damn, this trailer I think is what got the most positive feedback. People seem really pumped, I being one of them. I already tweeted today, I think this is going to be a big candidate for great trailer, bad movie, if it flops. But I'm big time buttering, and I'm thinking it's going to be a good movie. I really do. It looks fucking awesome. They're going full tilt, exactly what we want to see with Godzilla.
Yeah, this is a good point about good trailer, bad movie. All of these trailers have been engineered to be good, in my opinion. Now, Ken Jack didn't like the Shazam trailer, but I would think if you sampled 100 people, the overwhelming response to all these trailers is that they're pretty good. They've been engineered to appease this Comic-Con audience. Folks like us who are nerds and care about this stuff way too much. I have a hard time finding anything bad about this trailer. And I still don't really know what's going to go on in this movie. You saw Millie Bobby Brown. I think that got a lot of Stranger Things folks excited. You saw some monsters that got a lot of monsters folks excited. Big monster fans out there. There's really nothing to dislike, but you worry about the actual movie because, as we talked about last week, the last forays into Godzilla in American cinema have not gone that well.
Yep.
Yeah, and this is going to be part of the MonsterVerse suit too. So this is the setup for Godzilla versus Kong, which is the movie that's going to come after this. Kong Skull Island, not very good. The last Godzilla movie, it was like passable. So if like the trend gets better, if you go back to the 1998 Godzilla, this should be a really good Godzilla movie, realistically. So we're going to see how that works out. The cast is amazing, like you guys were saying. Millie Bobby Brown, Kyle Chandler, Vera Famiglia, Bradley Whitford, Sally Hawkins, Tom Middleditch, Shea Jackson Jr., Ken Watanabe, and Zhang Ziyi from Memoirs of a Geisha, which I believe won an Oscar, didn't it? I think so. But that's an insanely huge cast. And Charles Dance, too, I think, isn't from Game of Thrones. And like Sally Hawkins just won an Oscar, too. It's like an insane cast.
The problem I have with like a lot of these monster movies, and to some extent, like even in Pacific Rim, is you have a bunch of like human actors and then you have the monsters, and really all the human actors get to do is watch from a television screen or watch from the ground and act off that.
Pacific Rim, they fought them in giant ass monster suits. It's like the exact opposite.
I know, but I'm talking about like, you know, then they go over to like, what Charlie Kelly's character or whatever, and he's
that's
just
gonna
like
be Tom Middleditch in this, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just like it's tough because like they're just almost like passive observers to this big giant monster fight. Maybe Pacific Rim was the bad example of that. I will admit defeat on that point, but that's tough because like I don't know how you weave all of those great actors into a compelling story. Maybe they pull it off. Maybe it's just that it is what it is. It's a giant Godzilla movie where big monsters beat the fuck out of each other, and that's entertaining enough. I'm happy with that. It's just try not to make it anything more.
Yeah, that could be enough on its own. And so, folks, this movie is about a bunch of terrifying monsters destroying everything in their path, or as Millie Bobby Brown calls it, normal things.
Oh, God.
Can I say that might be the worst one yet?
I think that is, right?
That's bad.
Like, I was going through my list here. That's probably the worst one I got. So,
but you went for it, and I think that's commendable, Ken Jack. I appreciate that. And a lot of folks on the Reddit, there's been some comments saying that I haven't ripped on you as bad as previous episodes. That was because when we first started the podcast, I didn't know there was a 9-year age difference between us. And so now I feel a little bad because when I rip on you, I feel like I'm not supporting the youth, you know?
That sounds like you're trying to give yourself an excuse for getting owned all the time. But yeah, that works too.
Yes, we'll go with that one.
This is a movie I'm excited for now. I think it looks cool. The trailer, obviously, had Claire de Lune, which many people pointed out to me because it's in Ocean's 11. But I thought it played really cool with this movie trailer. And there's some neat monsters in it. Rodan, I think I'm probably pronouncing these wrong. I know it's Mothra. And then
Fuck
King,
Mothra.
And then King, what is it? King Ghidorah? That's the three-headed one, right? Again, looks really cool. And I think if it has that tone and that many great actors and actresses, that this has got a shot. This has got a shot to be pretty good. A really good Godzilla movie. Because the jury is very much out on the first one. There's some people who really like it and others who just, they're like, this just didn't do it. The Bryan Cranston thing pissed people off. Some people like Kong Skull Island, but I'm not a big fan of it. And go ahead.
Was it that Bryan Cranston got killed in the first like 23 seconds of the movie? Didn't it?
I forget what happened.
Did that happen? I don't know if I'm making
pretty
that
sure.
up.
His wife dies. He's in the movie, but the world is weird or something. I honestly forget what it is, but I know it made people mad. Because one of the reactions to this movie trailer from our audience is that the first one sucked ass with the Bryan Cranston switcheroo. But nice little 30-minute part in the movie, but on the main billing. He said, fuck them for that. So that's what it was. It was a much shorter time than people thought they were going to get with Bryan Cranston.
And that was right after Breaking Bad ended, too. I think that was his like first big role after the end of Breaking Bad. So everybody was riding the Bryan Cranston train, which everybody should be riding the Bryan Cranston train all the time because Bryan Cranston fucking rules.
Yeah, and someone else mentioned that this will be big for Millie Bobby Brown. I agree on that. This is like a huge, big blockbuster movie for her. I could see her star kind of escalating a little bit after Stranger Things because she's clearly a prominent role in this movie. Someone else said not interested, shit, and everything else is mainly very positive. Shit. Someone said it looks fucking electric. Godzilla is thick. Gonna be bad, but I think it'll be fun. Why are they releasing more monster movies? So there is another negative one. Someone did mention this, though. I'm worried that there are a lot of monsters. I don't want Godzilla to take the back seat again like the last movie. I don't think they'll make that mistake again. Like, I think we'll get prominent Godzilla.
Well, like with Kong?
No.
The human characters, right?
Like, that sort of happened in Kong Skull Island, too. Like, you barely got any Kong. Oh. It was all about the human stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because, but in the Godzilla, the first one before this one, there wasn't a ton of Godzilla. That was in the other knock on it. Is that we didn't see a lot of Godzilla. I think this one you will. I guess it's a concern, but I think the studio learned their lesson from that. So, again, I'm excited. I assume we're going to see King Kong in some respect in this movie. Post credit or something.
What does his IMDb page say?
King Kong's personal IMDb page.
I mean, the one thing I'm afraid of is that like this movie could be the worst movie ever made, like of all time. And because Millie Bobby Brown and Kyle Chandler are in it, like normies will be like, oh, it's the best movie ever made. Because Friday Night Lights and Stranger Things are the two like peak normal person shows you could possibly have. So I think that that's a big thing. Like, there's going to be a honeymoon period for it, no matter how it fares.
I wonder how many seasons of Stranger Things they'll end up doing. Is that going to be a show that they try to milk like 13?
Should have been just one. Should have been just one.
Totally agree.
I didn't hate season two, but I also don't mind that British approach to, you know, TV making where you're just like, well, that's it, mate. That's our only season.
Yep. Yeah. Well, actually, Ken Jack, I kind of want to get you triggered here for a second. I was watching a YouTube video earlier this morning, and it was like best Comic-Con surprises, and one of them was Barb, the actress that plays Barb.
Dude.
showed up at Comic-Con and asked the question of, is Barb going to be in season two? And your antics are just some of my favorite, because I know you're the opposite of the team bring back Barb movement that
happened. It was one of the most absurd things ever, and I actually had a blog about her recently, because she's in a trailer for a Netflix movie coming out where she's, of course, like the downtrodden girl in high school, and she like convinces this girl, like, I'll do your homework if you go on a webcam with a random dude and pretend you're me, and then like we'll trick this guy into liking me. It's the stupidest movie. It's almost as bad as that new movie about like the heavy girl that gets skinny that everyone's shitting on, rightfully so, that Netflix is putting out. Like, it looks almost as bad as that.
I just hate those concepts for a variety of reasons. But yeah, you remember like when Stranger Things first came out? It was like 2015, and the like peak internet meme was Barb, and then now it's just a picture of like the yellow M&M with like red glow eyes saying something like saying that, or like saying like you may be diagnosed with mesothelioma or something like that. Everybody's meme like has just gotten so fucked up. So maybe we don't have to worry about that anymore.
Oh boy. So yeah, that is Godzilla King of the Monsters. 6 million views. Another 2019 movie. I think the only one that comes out this year. When does Glass come out? Next year, right? So Fantastic Beasts is the other one that comes out this year. Aquaman comes out this year. And the next one we're going to talk about is Fantastic Beasts 2, aka The Crimes of Grindelwald, which actually I got into a very, not heated, very spirited debate on our Reddit about this movie, because I said I didn't think many people were interested in this movie last week. I still kind of hold to that. And we had this lovely poster and audience member of ours, who I give him credit for standing his ground. He said the movie's was successful. And he thinks this one may make a billion. And I thought that was crazy, because the last one only made 800 something million and was one of the lower grossing Harry Potter movies, especially when you think about inflation. However, I also said I wasn't excited. I'm kind of actually looking forward to it now for this trailer. I like this trailer exponentially more than I like the first one. The first one is terrible, in my opinion, now. This new trailer kind of has me excited. It has a thriller vibe, and then it actually came out where they said this movie is going to be a bit more of a thriller than the first one. But my main concern still becomes the fact that I do not like Newt Scamander. I think that character is very weird, uncharismatic, and not engaging, and that continues to be my one worry about this movie. However, I will eat some words. I stand my ground that I don't think as many people are as excited about this as before. And my last dunking on point will be that it has the lowest amount of views out of these trailers. But I will say I kind of think it looks pretty decent.
I think the audience for this movie isn't the Comic-Con audience, though.
Yeah, Harry Potter audience is big. I mean, if this was like Harry broad. Potter movie.
Harry Potter audience is like normal people audience. So I get that. Like, this movie is going to be wildly popular just because Harry Potter is wildly popular with like a bunch of people. But these aren't, you know, these are, you know, 38-year-olds with like two kids. And they're not the ones that like are clicking on the Comic-Con trailers. I mean, and I'm not saying like the one's writer, one's another. It's just different audiences. Someone like me, I didn't read the Harry Potter books. I watched all the Harry Potter movies. They're good. I watched the Incredible Beast movie one. It was okay. I watched this trailer. I don't really care all that much. I will see this movie because we're doing a movie podcast, but I don't feel one way or another about it. I just it's not my cup of butter beer.
Hey, nice. You gotta do that. We should probably make that
butter beer.
Yeah, like our own separate offshoot brand of it. Like, it's actually very alcoholic. Like, it's just damaging to your liver.
It's just a Coors Light with some Kerrygold in it.
Oh, Carrie, gross.
And a splash of what was that? The energy drink,
Goldschlager.
Balls energy drink, a splash of balls in it.
Oh, it's balls! Just, yeah,
it's like bulletproof coffee. It's Kerrygold, coconut oil, and then some beer.
That's right, keeps you full. I'm totally with you, Trill. I just don't feel one way or the other. And I think out of this podcast, I was the biggest Harry Potter guy, like we've mentioned. Went to all the book releases, all the movie releases. I was huge into it, and just like I it just doesn't move the needle for me at all. Second time I'm saying that today. I'm setting up the jar. I just don't care. Like you said, Nukes Commander is just not an interesting villain. I like Jude Law a lot. I still think they probably should have recast like Johnny Depp at some point. Like they had every opportunity to, and that's the weird thing. Like he only showed up for 2 seconds of screen time in the last movie. They got spoon fed that, like, here's your opportunity to recast, and they're like, no, we're sticking with it. Which to me is so short sighted, but it is what it is. I don't know. I don't care. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah,
it's a good trailer. I just don't care.
It's tough for me. And again, the poster on Reddit, he can dunk me into the fucking core of the earth if this movie ends up doing massive numbers and hits $1 billion. I will eat my words and say I'm wrong. But I don't think the hype is as big as it could have been had the first one been more well received. The people liked the first one to an extent, but like just based on the stuff that like we post. And I know that not all fandoms follow us on our Twitter. I don't get the sense that this one has as much hype as other movies we have been talking about. So hey. I don't know. It's tough. Again, I could be dead wrong. However, I will admit I'm wrong in the fact that I admitted wrong in the fact that I actually kind of looking forward to this now. I don't know why, but I am.
Okay, so if this movie crosses $1 billion, can we dress you up like Harry Potter, go to Times Square, and then have you like put a candy bar onto the fur of Times Square Elmo for 15 seconds, and then you eat the candy bar?
Oh, that's your worst nightmare.
Sure.
Okay. All right, so we'll see what happens.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, there was a reboot of a franchise that also said that their sequel to the first reboot was going to be a thriller. No, this isn't a joke. I'm just saying, like...
Oh.
Fallen Kingdom said the same thing. They're a reboot, and they're like, yeah, this one's more of a thriller, and it stunk. So, I don't know.
I do think this one does have a bit more dark undertones than compared to the first one. At least that's what it seems like. There was a dark villain, obviously, like a fucked up villain and weird family. But this one, in the last one, the Ezra Miller's character. It was that whole thing was like
weird,
a little creepy. But like, I think this one has some dark vibes. Yeah, I'll dress up as Harry Potter.
I keep wanting to call it the Crimes of Grindelwald. Folks, follow Lights, Camera, Podcast on Twitter.
This takes place before World War I, right?
I know it's much older because Harry Potter is set in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, and
Dumbledore's an old-ass bitch. So
he is he's super fucking old. And he's a suave, young-looking, hip guy in this one.
Kind of fucked up that the Wizarding World just watched World War One and Two happen. And they're like, you guys got this. And they could have probably done something along the way.
Yeah, at least Bumblebee was like out there.
Yeah, Bumblebee, woke ally Bumblebee going out there killing Hitler. Meanwhile, where are any of the wizards?
There was some news on Bumblebee, the product placement movie, which by the way, I didn't mention that. I was disappointed in Shazam. It's set in Philadelphia. They should have been helping robbers stop at a Wawa and then have some sort of like sheets and Wawa debate.
Oh, yeah.
That would have fit in perfect. But there's some Bumblebee news. They're showing like Cybertron or some shit in the movie, but it didn't. We're not going to talk about it today. We'll get. There's going to be another trailer. We'll talk about that when the time comes. But that's our long Fantastic Beasts 2 discussion. The Crimes of Grindelwald. And that comes out this year as well. It comes out in November 16th. And we'll be reviewing it. We'll be seeing it. I'm sure we'll rank some Harry Potter movies when that comes up too. A little Harry Potter debate. Let's move on to the movie that had last week, the biggest hype because they pushed it so much, like in the vacuum of just the last week, and that's Glass. And that was the first one of these to come out, I believe. This one came out on Friday evening. The trailer for Glass, which is a sequel to Split, and the combination of that and the movie Unbreakable, Bruce Willis, Samuel Jackson, and Will McAvoy.
Oh, no. Will McAvoy, AVN or whatever.
Sir.
You must resign, sir.
Yeah, James McAvoy. Sarah Paulson's in it. The Glass trailer, that looked fucking awesome. I think the Glass trailer looks really cool. Also set in Philadelphia. But the Glass trailer, I am pumped for that movie. A really, like, dark, twisted superhero movie in a sense, basically. That's the vibe you get from it. Or superhumans.
Sarah Paulson just rules. I love her and everything she's in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited about this one. It's mostly due to the cast. The cast looks great, but I like Split. I know our friend
Adnan
didn't like Split. He hated Split, but I thought Split was, like we said before, M. Night Shyamalan really opened up the Philadelphia succeeding rift with creating a good movie again.
That's yep. true.
He did.
First one to start the comeback for Philly.
Yeah, he started the Philly comeback.
It's like you were saying, it's nice to see M. Night doing good things again. I like Split. Unbreakable is a good movie, I always thought. And by every indication, the trailer made it look pretty cool. So I'm definitely excited for it. And folks, I don't know about you, but my wife preferring Unbreakable Glass is what caused me to split up with her in the first place.
I don't get it. What is...
It's can't say so it on the stupid
pod. Sponsors.
Oh boy, that was a tough one. Hey, they can't all land.
The whole podcast, I've been trying to think of a Levi's joke to go along with Shazam, but I haven't been able to do it.
You make the jokes next time.
Go ahead, Trill.
No, I'm done.
You're done. Okay. Yeah. I forgot to mention some comments from Fantastic Beasts. Someone said, no impact on me. Don't care. Would be excited if it didn't have Johnny Depp. Jude Law is so fucking cool. Johnny Depp as Billy Idol revives the Harry Potter franchise that nobody asked for. Gonna suck. Harry Potter shill, so I'm buttering, but I'm not sold on Jude Law. That's interesting. I haven't really heard that one. Hey, remember Harry Potter? Yeah, this is like that, but much worse. And you don't know any of these characters. I think some people split, but there's some people who are obviously still excited for it who are Harry Potter fans. Glass, everyone loved it. I don't see one on here that is... someone said M. Night should fuck off. I don't agree with that. But most people are excited for this one.
The only scene I remember from the first Fantastic Beasts is that rhinoceros creature was charging the guy and then almost like destroyed his crotch. And then just stopped short, and then he pulled him back into the suitcase. Remember that one?
Oh yeah,
that was the only thing I remember from that movie because I would have been like, that would have been bad.
Yeah, what's his face? Really bad. The Josh Gad character's back.
Yes,
it's just Josh.
Oh, what the fuck is his name again? We looked this up last time.
We've made this mediocrely funny joke before. Fantastic Beasts. What's his name? What is his name here? A live Google on the podcast. His name is Dan Fogler. Dan Fogler. So,
how come all these he was how come all these British that? Characters get these cool names and then the American character gets this like boring ass name? He was
Jake
American.
Kowalski.
Jake Kowalski. He was in Balls of Fury, Fanboys, that Star Wars movie that Kristen Bell was also in, and Good Luck Chuck.
Oh, that's right.
Among others, yeah.
I like Balls of Fury. Balls of Fury is one of those like underratedly, still terrible, but comedies from the mid-2000s.
Yeah. Okay, so Fantastic Beasts and Glass. We'll move on from those. We got to talk about this one. These are TV shows, but they're derived from movies. At least two of them are, and we got to talk about one of them. Titans, which I believe it's a spinoff of Teen Titans, right? It's like the same concept, Ken Jack?
Yeah, it is the Teen Titans, okay. I think, right? It's like Robin... like Violet, all those people.
Yeah. So it's like this gritty, very much in the vein of the other DC TV shows, which some people really like. Some people are big Supergirl fans, Arrow, Flash. But this one, oh my God, it is very strange. It has this weird, gritty, shitty CGI look to it. And a lot of these shows don't have the best CGI because, I mean, they're TV shows. They're not big budget movies. But the line that everyone keeps talking about is that... they're like, where's Batman or something like that? And Robin shoots all these guys dead and then just goes, fuck Batman. And it's one of the strangest trailer moments I've ever seen.
Robin, I heard what you said about me. That was very rude. Where is she?
It looked awful.
It looks awful. I don't.
Very violent. Yeah. It was very violent too. A lot of violence, which, yeah, I don't know.
And I don't feel being like mean about this because we've been fairly, I know Kendrick, you weren't totally in the Shazam, but I don't think you were like mean about Shazam. We've been fairly DC positive. So I don't feel bad at all saying this looks like complete dog shit. This looks terrible. I was stunned by it. A couple people at work were mentioned, like Coley was like, gee, did you see this fucking thing? The Batman line? It's stunningly bad.
The feedback was almost universally negative, it seemed like.
Wow. That main guy from it is actually like, I feel like they tried to shoehorn him into a lot of different movies and like make him a big actor, and it didn't really work out. Like he was in the last Pirates of the Caribbean as a main character.
That
Gods of Egypt movie with Nikolai Coster-Waldau from Game of Thrones. He was in a couple other bigger titles, and it looks like, I guess they realized he's not very good, and now they're putting him into shitty DC movie or DC shows. But I don't think many of the DC shows have been very good. The Marvel ones haven't been very good either. I don't know if you saw the Luke Cage season 2, Mike Coulter Dab. Did you guys catch that?
Oh no, I am not a fan of the Marvel TV shows. Just simply not.
Daredevil season 1 was okay. I like that. And also
Jessica Jones season 1 was really good.
Yeah,
mostly because of Kilgrave was a really good villain.
And I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. first two seasons were fun only because of the tie into the movies. But in DC Universe, I thought Supergirl season 1 was pretty good. Daredevil, Legends of Tomorrow, I tried. It's very tough to get into. And this just looks like it's doing nothing. Like, just nothing. It looked awful. God awful. Fuck Batman is a terrible line.
Yeah, I've tried to get into Supergirl. I haven't really, but I do like Melissa Benoist, the main actress. I know a lot of people really like Supergirl.
Superman in that is very handsome.
Superman, you got to be a handsome man. I mean, he's not Henry Cavill.
Yeah, no, he's not. I was thinking about it, but he's not.
We have two more TV-related movie things we'll touch on quick. Clone Wars is back, the Star Wars animated series. I'm very excited about that. For those who've never watched Clone Wars, it is everything that they talk about in the prequels that they don't show. Like, anytime Anakin and Obi-Wan are like, oh yeah, you owe me for that one time you saved me from this crazy battle, and then they just don't show anything, that's what you see in Clone Wars. Clone Wars was an awful movie and then a fantastic TV show. So very excited to see that coming back. Great Star Wars content, not on the big screen. And then The Purge TV show, which, oh man, Ken Jack, I think you're finally going to be watching the first Purge, because I'm the one who's seen it so far, and I'm very excited for you to hate it, because it's terrible. And this TV show actually doesn't look awful, like for what it is, for it being a TV, like miniseries or whatever. Like, it looks decently well made, but I mean, at this point, I think I finally have to cut my losses and say I think The Purge just doesn't work. I just don't think the TV show, like the concept, works anymore.
Yeah, I think The Purge, the actual concept, like we've always said, is one of the cooler concepts they've had in like movie cinema or anything like that, but it's just been so poorly executed up to this point. I hope it's good, because we do like it, like the idea of it, but I don't know, that trailer or whatever commercial wasn't very promising. And the Clone Wars, I'm all about Clone Wars coming back.
Hell yeah.
Wait, was it going to be airing on a network, or was it going to go straight to a streaming service? I didn't catch that.
I actually don't know. I wouldn't be shocked if it's going to go to the Disney streaming service, but
that'd be smart.
I could see it being on Disney XD or whatever, which is what Rebels was on. But yeah, I'm very excited for that as well. Big time. All right, let's move on. Okay, so we're gonna touch on this news. James Gunn was fired from Guardians of the Galaxy 3 Volume 3 on Friday, right? That's when it went down?
Yeah, Friday night, like Friday late afternoon.
Yeah, so there were tweets that were pulled up from years ago from James Gunn that were, as he stated, just not funny. He tried to be provocative. He tried to make crude jokes, shock humor. And they were, I mean, they're, whether you want to classify as jokes or not, I mean, they're shitty tweets. Like, they stunk. We don't really want to get too much into this. We never do this with the pod. We don't want to become hot take people, debate political topics, but we do have to bring this up. So he had some shitty things. Disney fired him almost immediately when this stuff came to light. Wild, in my opinion, that these weren't deleted ahead of time. I can't believe that, because he seemed very well aware that those were there. And he regretted it. He apologized. For what he said, and like the shit he tweeted being kind of fucked up, I thought his apology was very good, but it was too late. He was gone. He got canned. I'll throw my opinion in the ring very, very briefly. It's that on one hand, I understand why Disney did it, especially because it's Disney. I think if it was another studio, I could see them maybe getting away with it, but the Disney brand is like that. However, I won't name names. There are plenty of other actors, directors who have done actual bad shit who still get cast, who still get movies. So it's a fine line to walk here. You know, again, the stuff he tweeted was shit. But at the same time, you know, there's definitely some weird double standards in Hollywood. And that's where we'll go on that front. So it's a overall shitty situation. That's where I'll end it. Like, the whole situation just is really unfortunate and shitty. But we'll end with this question is, who do you think should replace James Gunn?
So I blogged this right when it happened, and immediately my gut reaction, I think it was like 4 o'clock that Friday, Taika Waititi, immediately. He's the only director in the Marvel Universe right now that even has close to that sort of style and humor level. I don't know if it would happen or if it's even in the realm of possibility. Like, I doubt it with him presumably working on whatever the Hitler movie that's come. He's working on with ScarJo that's coming out soon. But if he could, I would absolutely love it. And I think that he would be the ideal replacement for him.
Yeah, someone else mentioned Edgar Wright. I agree with you, by the way, Ken Jack, especially because we're not sure if there's even going to be another Thor movie. So I would hate for him to not be able to do another Marvel movie. Someone mentioned Edgar Wright, but he did have creative differences with Disney and Marvel over Ant-Man and left Ant-Man. And I know he has stated, he actually stated, I think, to the Weekly Planet guys, our buddy James and Mesa, that he will never watch Ant-Man because he was like so sick over it. So I don't see that happening at all. I don't see him coming back to Marvel. But I think
Is that just because of the music end or?
I forget what it was, honestly. I know there were creative differences or why people suggest that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think he does have a taste for that when you watch his movies. But that's a suggestion that makes sense. But I mean, so far from what I've heard, and that's now one suggestion, I do like Taika Waititi. What about you, Trill?
Yeah. I mean, that's the one that makes the most sense because the humor in Ragnarok was something you felt like would fit right in with Guardians, just in the way the movie kind of hit the marks there. And I think there are other directors, but it's hard with like saying like, okay, somebody's previously done a Marvel film because they're probably working on another one. Like John Watts, who did Homecoming, he's working on the follow-up for that. So like, yeah. Who isn't booked that can go and do these movies? I don't know. I don't even know when Guardians 3 was scheduled to come out, but Waititi, just from a comic standpoint, seems like it would be the best fit. But again, I don't know what his schedule looks like. You can't just say, delete all your previous responsibilities and do this movie because you're contractually obligated to do what you've already committed to do.
Yeah, I wonder if the Russo brothers might get asked because they've now handled the Guardians characters. I could see that maybe happening, like a come save the day type thing. But it's also 2020. And it's not like they have to develop much more than, you know, the story and maybe an extra villain because a lot had been developed already. I think a draft of the script was already out. I think he had one turned in. We know the characters. So, I mean, you know, it's not like it's a let's start from scratch again, which seems like it's happened with movies like, you know, The Flash, where there's kind of like redoing everything. So it's pretty established. So I could see it not being as much of a disastrous move where they have time still. So I think you guys can agree, though. Again, situation stinks. We have to comment on it. But we also don't like getting, you know, dragging down this happy-go-lucky podcast. So unfortunate news for sure on all accounts. Moving on, staying in Marvel, but not the MCU. John Mulaney was cast as Spider-Ham. How about that? They're going to have Spider-Ham in the Spider, Into the Spider-Verse, the pig Spider-Man.
Yeah, I like this. Great voice. John Mulaney is one of the best comedians out there right now. So I really think his voice would do well as a pig. And I don't think we've seen him voice a pig before, but I can, like, in my mind, I can just picture it. But in my mind, I'm picturing the piggy bank from Toy Story talking like John Mulaney. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I think his character in Big Mouth is kind of almost like a pig. He's just got like a little pot belly. And so I think just imagining his character, I think his name is Nick in that as Spider-Ham or whatever. I don't know. I think it works. I'm liking all these additions coming into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun movie. I mean, if it's good, who knows? But I think we're going to have some fun. And I do like John Mulaney. So excited to hear it. The voice will be pretty funny on that. Here we go, Trill. This is huge Trill Ball.
Yeah.
Oh, Cats. Yeah. The Cats musical. Casting news. And it is a very strange set of four people. Jennifer Hudson. That makes sense. And I can see her playing, what is the lead cat, the one that wins in the end? Grisabella, is that what it is? Like the main cat.
I don't know. I've actually never seen Cats. I've just listened to them. I've heard songs.
Never seen Cats?
I've never seen Cats. Cats just,
with all the Cats references you've made, you've never seen Cats?
I had an Andrew Lloyd Webber, like, greatest hits or classic soundtrack growing up that I used to listen to all the time. And that's where most of my Cats references come from. But I've never actually seen Cats. So I know Mr. Mistopheles. I know some of the other characters, but I don't know who the main character is.
So Grisabella is the cat that sings the famous song Memory, which is, you know, the song most noted. And that has, I think, probably the part of this. That's a song with a huge vocal range. I can see Jennifer Hudson playing that. However, the other ones, Ian McKellen. Okay. All right. Interested to see that. Taylor Swift. I have no idea how to take that one. Can she act? In a movie that's going to be a big budget movie. This is obviously going to be a massive released movie because the Broadway show is such a long-standing famous Broadway show. And then he's back, folks. James Corden. James Corden.
Yeah.
Cast. And, I actually love this James Corden casting decision.
Why?
Because he was good in Into the Woods.
Yeah,
he was
this good is a natural fit. Whenever you hear him sing on a show or whatever, he just has a very Broadway-like voice.
Have
like,
him do Memory, then.
Well, I mean, I think that'd be weird for him to be the glamour cat, the female glamour cat. He's gonna be Bustopher Jones, who's a big, fat cat respected Bustopher. By all. I'm sorry if that's like typecasting because James Corden's a bigger guy, but he's going to be – I tweeted it from the – this is like one of the least on-brand tweets from our account ever. I said, guaranteed he's going to play Bustopher Jones. Like, I mean, I have no doubt in my mind.
Bustopher. It's a funny ass name.
There's another big cat, Old Deuteronomy. I saw the Broadway show like a couple months ago, who's another larger cat, but there's no shot. And Kenjack, if he plays Bustopher, we have to make some sort of Bustopher Jones, James Corden line of merchandise, no doubt.
Yeah. Also, make his face mash up like that. What was that one really, really bad Meryl Streep Photoshop? What was that from? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, no. You're thinking of the Glenn Close Hillary Clinton one, aren't you?
Yeah. So make that Photoshop. Put him on a cat.
Oh, man. Oh,
so, how was the show? Did you enjoy the musical itself?
It's a super fucking weird Broadway show. It's also super British. It's just one of those things where my dumb American brain couldn't understand it, I guess. But it's incredible, the singing. I liked it. I also saw Book of Mormon a couple weeks ago, and I think that's my favorite Broadway show I've ever seen. That's incredible. That's insanity.
It was mine before I saw Hamilton. I gotta say, if you haven't seen Hamilton, go see Hamilton. If you can even get in.
Somebody the other day, which by the way, the reaction from our audience on Mamma Mia has been fairly positive, but somebody messaged me and said, or tweeted me and said, all musicals fucking stink. And I said, well, that's just the dumbest opinion. Wrong. Because almost everything that Matt Stone and Trey Parker do is a musical. Team America, South Park the movie, obviously Book of Mormon, if you can see Book of Mormon, see it. Which also, you know who got their start with Book of Mormon primarily, right?
Josh Gad.
Yep, Josh Gad.
And yeah. Andrew Rannells, too.
Yep, Andrew Rannells.
I don't know if he got a start, but he was in the lead role in that.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know if it was a start, but he was the lead. It is one of the most, it's probably one of the most inappropriate things I've ever seen in my life. I think it trumps anything from South Park. It is so fucking funny, though, and it does it in such an incredible way. The music is amazing. Dancing's great. Yeah, if you can see a Broadway show and you can see Book of Mormon, I highly suggest, especially if you're a fan of their work. But the Cats,
Cat, mate. Brilliant.
That'll be a movie at some point. Maybe it won't. I'm not sure. I don't think Trey Parker and Matt Stone would do that, actually. I feel like they're not the guys that would turn that into a movie. But Cats, the Cats movie coming out in a few years.
I need to say this. Phantom of the Opera. I did not like the movie. It is one of my favorite musicals. I loved it. Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of the Gerard Butler one.
Okay.
Like, not the original that is, like, basically the source, like, based off the book. The original musical, which was, like, 2005 or whatever. I didn't love that one.
Yeah, I figured you didn't mean the black and white silent picture, but I guess we had to clarify just for the sake of clarifying. All right. last bit of news before we answer like two listener questions. Ah, damn it. We're going to figure that out. Audience questions. Last bit of news before we get into audience questions. This is really just a hype up. A hype up for Mission Impossible Fallout. Mission Impossible Fallout. Mega reviews. I mean, is it possible for you to be more excited, Kenjik, than you were already?
Not really. Unless, like, Henry Cavill came to my house and said, like, hey, come watch my movie. Like, I don't know. Yeah, wait.
Sorry, just tell, this is the background music.
Oh, okay.
Just keep talking.
I'm very excited for
the
movie.
With the friction.
And I think that this made me more excited.
You need them. You're stuck in the middle of all irrelevance. And your heart is beating. Because you don't do them. Get out the middle. All right, sorry.
No, keep going. Oh, all right.
You know that part? It. You know that part there? He says of all the relevance. It actually sounds like a Lonely Island song. There's a called Space Olympics. It sounds exactly like that. And every time I hear Friction, that's what I think of. But yeah, 96% of Rotten Tomatoes. Everyone said once again, the new Mission Impossible series comes out with a complete banger, and we are pumped. We're seeing it on Thursday night. Donnie's coming with us. It's
Bulldog.
It's gonna and Bulldog, intern Bulldog. I think Robbie's going to come with us. PFT might. I'm not sure. But it's going to be a good time. And then, you know what has 100% of Rotten Tomatoes, folks? Teen Titans Pokemon Go to the polls. Has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. And people say it's fun. People say the movie's fun. And you know what? Kind of looking forward to seeing it now. Hey, it's a good, wholesome family, good time. And Nick Cage is Superman. I don't think I need to buy in. I think I'm in on this one.
I'm super stoked for Mission Impossible. There was a tweet, there was a viral tweet where somebody said that Tom Cruise is 5 years older than Wilford Brimley was in Cocoon in Mission Impossible.
Man.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I looked it up, but I forgot to tweet it. He was also the same or like a few years older, I think 3 years younger than Steve Martin is when he filmed Cheer by the Dozen.
Oh, wow. Wow. That one's maybe because I'm just younger, because I know who Wilford Brimley is, but I think the...
There's some of the diabetes guy.
Yeah, Steve Martin. That's crazy. Wow. All right. So, yeah, we're going to be reviewing Mission Impossible Fallout next week. I think Donnie's actually going to come on the pod for that one. And I'm excited. We're going to definitely play. Donnie's going to be on twice in the next few weeks. But we're going to play the foreign movie titles name game again, yes. Which was a blast. So we'll play that one again with Donnie. That'll be fun.
So, you know, Henry Cavill, his beard grows in Mission Impossible. You know how he maybe was able to get it to grow? He might have used Hims, folks. And this podcast is brought to you in part by Hims. That's right. 66% of men lose their hair by the age of 35. Did you know that? And if your hairline is slowly moving backwards, Hims is for you. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Well-known generic equivalents to name-brand subscriptions that will help you keep your hair. Not get new hair. Keep your own hair. Grow it back. Very easy. No waiting rooms. None of that. I have friends. Maybe Henry Cavill is one of them. They use Hims. They swear by it. Order now. Our listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds otherwise if you went to a doctor or pharmacy. Come on. If you got a receding hairline, if you got hair problems, you want that hair back. So go to forhims.com/lights. That's forhims, forhims. .com/lights. Once again, forhims.com/lights.
All right. We have time for like a couple listener
audience
questions. we're also doing this on my phone. So we're going to do this until my phone dies, I think. And I have about 12% left. We've had some mic problems. So I'm doing this on my gaming headset, as you found out a few episodes ago. So what do you want to start? Let's start with this one. Because, Troy, you teased something. What's your favorite movie? Fan theory slash conspiracy theory. Favorite movie fan theory slash conspiracy theory.
Okay. So we don't touch a lot on this in the podcast, just because from my perspective, hearing a 33-year-old married man with a kid talk about this is gross. But there are sex scenes in movies. And there are a lot of people that talk about sex scenes when they're released. They're always a big deal during promotions and movies. Oh, there's a sex scene, whatever. There are a lot of people on the internet who desperately want like sex scenes to be unsimulated. And there's a large contingent of people who think that the Billy Bob Thornton, Halle Berry sex scene in Monsters Ball was real.
Is that a real conspiracy theory, or did you make that up?
I don't know if it's a conspiracy theory, but I've seen discussions because there's a point in that clip where you can see something that looks like his balls, like flopping. and so it gets in this big discussion where, like, the obvious answer is, like, no, absolutely not. Like, these are professionals. Like, you think about it. If you ever gone to, like, a filming for anything, there's 60 people standing behind the camera. There's lights up. Like, there's no way any of this is real. Like, they wear pads, they modesty pads, they put them on. Like, it's just not real. Like, things look real because they're good movie makers. It's absurd to me that people do think it's real. But I've seen, like, threads in the past where people, like, dive into the clips and try to, like, discern whether or not it was real. So those type of conspiracy theories are always the best for me because it's ridiculous and you know the answer.
I'm looking this up now. Hold on.
That's wild. That is. Are you also a fan of the you see Ben Affleck's dick in Gone Girl fan conspiracy theory?
Wasn't that just
true? I thought that was true though. I thought that was Snopes green light true.
Verit facts check number
4D 3D 3D.
Kendrick, while you're looking that up, I'll throw a couple out there or throw an idea out there that I'm not a big fan of. I don't like when people try and talk about movies that, you know, oh, this person, the movie didn't happen. It's just a dream in somebody's head. That seems like the constant one that happens, like, for one or two movies every year. And we talked about, I think, the Rugrats movie last week, but the conceit that, like, Rugrats is just Angelica's dream or something because she actually lives in, like, this nightmarish hellscape of a world where everything has gone wrong with her family and, like half the family is dead or something. I hate theories like that. I hate when people try and make something darker that really isn't dark. Like, Rugrats and 90s cartoons were kind of messed up here and there, but I'm never into those fan theories where they try and make something a lot darker than it really is.
I've never heard this Rugrats theory before. That's pretty out there and wild.
Oh, so my theory is the lazy one. It's just the Kazam one, Sinbad movie. Still kind of think it exists. I know it's lazy, but it's just, in my brain, I saw it in reality. So when people brought it up that it was fake, it kind of blew my mind. The burn seemed bare.
Are there any, like, really good movie conspiracy theories that are even on the level as something like Paul McCartney is really dead? Like, because that's easily the best pop cultural conspiracy theory of all time. Like, that is something that is so absurd, but it's also one of those conspiracy theories that if you get enough red wine into me and have me browse, like, a Reddit thread on it, I'm coming away, like, 100% believe that's true.
I mean,
like, dude,
yeah,
Paul's earlobes are 100% different. He definitely died in a car crash, and this guy sounds just like him.
Wait, hold on. Before we continue, because I'm going to read off a couple other fan theories here. This is the fan theory, Trill. Chucky died. I'm sorry. I shouldn't. That's not funny. That's a cartoon. Who cares? Chucky died in 1986 along with his mother. That's why Chaz is a nervous wreck all the time. This is fucking dark. Tommy was born in 1988, but he was a stillborn. That's why Stu is constantly in the basement making toys for the son who never had a chance to live. DeVilles.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. All right. This is fucking. The DeVilles had an abortion in 1990. Angelica couldn't figure out whether it would be a boy or a girl, thus creating the twins in her head. That this whole thing is a fucking dream. Oh,
why not just have one fucked up conspiracy theory and say the rest actually happened? Like, why does every family need something fucked up happening here?
And let's see. It says the theory extends from their childhood years into the all grown up spinoff, and Angelica ends up dying with a drug overdose.
Like, Jesus Christ.
I've never known the details. I've never looked it up. I thought it was just that they're all not alive and she's just dreaming and, like, her. That's wow. Okay. That was, I took you down the path. I started taking you down the path. I had to finish, but that, wow. That was very dark.
Certainly looks like balls. I'm watching the slow-mo of this scene right now. Certainly looks like you saw balls at one point.
Well, they could be it, but everything else could be blocked. And it doesn't mean that they actually had sex, but there are people that believe this.
I mean, it's a very graphic sex scene, to be honest.
But that's why people believe it. But at the same time, like, there are a lot of graphic deaths in movies that aren't real. It's just they're good filmmakers.
You think they put a prosthesis nutsack on him?
No, it could be. Kenjack's showing it to me now. No, I mean, maybe they did. Maybe they did.
He's so gross.
Let's look at
the first like celebrity feud we're gonna get with is Billy Bob Thornton because you just called him gross.
Just compared to Halle Berry, she's amazing.
Let's look at some movie theories and let's see what we think. Let's just break down some fan movie theories.
All right.
We'll go. All right. Here's a list. Okay. This is a popular one. This is on every like one of these lists. James Bond isn't a man, but rather a code name passed on from the MI6 agent after the other year after year.
I believe that.
You believe that it's all that there is no James Bond. It's just a code name.
Yeah,
I believe that James Bond's a persona you adopt, like 007. Like, I'm James Bond now. Like, that's always been my headcanon to explain why there are different James Bonds. And, like, why the resetting of timelines and why Daniel Craig is, like, such a newbie in the Casino Royale. It's just, like, you're the new 007. Like, you assume this identity. Although, yeah. I have to say, like, it does seem sloppy giving the person the same code name for your top secret agent. Seems like the bad guys would catch on after a while.
Maybe they only have like 001 through 00 something else, and then they just like keep using like one of those slots.
It's like a Y2K bug.
It's like they can't name anyone anything higher.
Our IBM like A6, A6 like green and black terminal from 1984 can only generate code names like 004 through 009. So
exactly, yeah, and they can't fix it.
It comes down to a fucking payroll issue.
From very simple to incredibly
Kinjak, like, you can complex. Stop showing us this monster's ball gif. Thank you.
Stanley Kubrick, this is about The Shining. Stanley Kubrick helped fake the moon landings, and The Shining contains several coded transmissions. Didn't you notice Danny's jumper? It has Apollo 11 on the sweater. So Stanley Kubrick helped fake the moon landing. I'm not sure I buy into this one. Okay, so you're not a fake moon landing guy.
No, I'm not. No. Only because one Big Ten school has built their complete football recruiting identity off of it.
All right, so for Purdue reasons. Yeah, man, what would happen to Purdue's alumni board if, like, what would happen for the marketing of Purdue if it was found out that Neil Armstrong didn't actually go to the moon?
I don't know, man, but their football Twitter handle has been full steam ahead with the Neil Armstrong went here posts.
First Man is it's a massive movie. First Man is huge.
I saw the trailer for that for the first time. Because previously I've been going to the movies 25 minutes late on purpose just to save my time. But I actually had some time yesterday. I saw the First Man trailer in actual theater and it did not disappoint. So still buttering for that one.
Oh, who's your next best alum, by the way?
What's that?
Who's like the next best alum for Purdue? Is it going to be Redenbacher or like
Drew Brees?
He's active.
No, I don't.
Someone more historic.
I don't know. Redenbacher, you know, he has a good history. I don't really know. I don't know the Purdue alumni roster all that well.
All right, hold on. I'll help you here. Herman Cain. All right. Jim Gaffigan.
The leap from going – no offense to Jim Gaffigan, who I do find funny, but the leap from going from Neil Armstrong to Jim Gaffigan, that's a tough one for the admissions department.
Can you imagine like being in the recruiting like board and like producing a sizzle video to get people to come to Purdue and you got quotes? It's like, now some quotes from alumni. This is one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And it flips over Jim Gaffigan going, Hot Pockets. It's like that. I'm fucking going there.
And you know what's funny too is I'm looking at the ranker version. So this is by rankings of like how many times they get mentioned. So Kane is number one, then Breeze, then Gaffigan. Fucking Neil Armstrong's number seven.
Jesus. That's an uninformed person.
Gary Payton, not the one you like. It's a pilot.
Yeah.
Different Gary Payton.
I don't know. This topic is dead. Let's move on.
Like 10,000 astronauts went to Purdue. What the fuck?
Yeah, they were inspired. I don't know. This is a No Country for Old Men conspiracy that I've never actually seen. Anton Chigurh is the angel of death sent by an angry Old Testament god to wreak vengeance upon the drug trade. I don't like that one. I think that one stinks.
I think he's maybe the angel of death in a more figurative manner in that movie, in terms of symbolism. Yeah. But I don't think there's any explanation for his character other than he's just a person with a a very neutral moral compass. Well, he's got a bad moral compass because he kills people. But in the movie, you know, like his kind of like his determinants on fate and whatnot. It just, I mean, look, I'm not the characterization guy. I can't go into this. I just don't buy it.
Yeah, I think they read too much into that for sure.
How about this one? Jack from the Titanic is from the future.
Why would that? Why? Why would he be?
Why would he get on the Titanic?
Let's
why
see.
Not,
here we go.
Why not just get off the? Yeah, I don't buy it. Let's hear this one.
The sign seemed to point to yes. Ooh, okay. One fan theory posits that Jack is actually a time traveler who came back in time to keep Rose from committing suicide because that would have caused a delay. It would have caused a delay in the ship's course to potentially kept the Titanic from crashing, altering the course of history. Some signs that Jack is from the future include his fashion and his mention of man-made structures that weren't yet created in 1912.
That doesn't make any fucking sense, though, because like then somebody else would have had to come back in time before him to alter her to want to commit suicide in the first place. Because otherwise, that's just the natural course of history would have been her committing suicide and then the Titanic not changing course. So somebody else would have had to preempt that. They fucking didn't think this through at all.
You know, that's a good Terminator question. Why does the Terminator always go back to directly kill John Connor and Sarah Connor? Like, why doesn't the Terminator go back like a few like 10 generations? Just do it that way.
Maybe because it'll alter the time. It has that possibility of altering a timeline where Skynet doesn't take over.
Maybe, I guess. I'm not buying this Titanic thing, Jeff. Because in that case, he should have had the foresight to know that there would be a good way to do that and get off the Titanic.
Yeah, wouldn't he be like scoping out the boats? Like, hey, this guy, like put a sign on one of them. It's like, hey, this has a big hole in it. When it doesn't, get off.
So I'm going through this list here. This is on Entertainment, EW, and there's some TV ones. This one just says Scooby-Doo is about kids trying to escape the draft.
What?
Okay.
By searching for monsters?
I don't know where that one comes from. Let's see. Trying to go. Oh, here's the Rugrats one is up again. Any other good ones? I think we've hit the peak on this one.
Wasn't there a good Wizard of Oz conspiracy?
Well, here I'll look it up. Ooh, here, here we go. I'm sorry, we've broken the streak. We're bringing up Willy Wonka. Willy Wonka killed and sacrificed those kids, Cabin in the Woods style. I refuse to believe that.
These aren't real conspiracy theories. These are just people. And so when I think of conspiracy theory, I'm thinking some real life shit that's happening behind the production of movies. So maybe I misinterpreted.
Yeah, but I also said fan theory as well. We can throw anything in there.
I don't know. It's just dark stuff, man. I don't know why all these conspiracy theories need to be so dark.
Yeah, I don't buy it. The kids are definitely dead. I don't know if it's Cabin in the Woods style.
The Wizard of Oz conspiracy was that there was always an urban legend about about there being a suicide contained within the movie.
When?
Let's see. So I'm on Snopes. A lovelorn actor. The claim is a lovelorn actor portraying one of the Munchkins hanged himself on the set during the filming of The Wizard of Oz. Okay, so maybe not like within the movie, but I even heard this growing up, and it's false, obviously, on Snopes.
Jeez, it's fucking all these theories are dark. Like, it's like I said earlier, like they all have to do with dark things. I want to go with one more because my phone is gonna die. Chris Pratt, the young kid in the original Jurassic Park, is actually Chris Pratt's character Owen.
I feel like they would have mentioned that.
Yeah, it seems like he would have been very upfront about having gone through that.
Okay, so that's fan theories. Actually, you know what? We're going to do a segment in the coming weeks. We're going to do one where we want people to send in their movie fan theories, and we'll debate if we like them or not. I think that's a good one. We're doing the 38-week segment. We're going to try again. There was enough positive feedback. I think we're either going to do all of the 80s next week, or we'll go to 81 and see if we can progress to having a more diverse set of movies. So we're going to try it again. We're going to be reviewing Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, and the Equalizer 2 on the podcast. And we're also going to probably throw some audience questions in there as well. Anything else, guys?
Yeah, I want to open my fortune cookie live on the pod.
Oh.
All right.
This is great. What's that called? Foley? The people that make sounds for movies?
Hey, can I, while he opens it up, let me just go into this thought. I want to break the fourth wall with the podcast. Oh. Do you think it's funny that we kill off bits really quickly so they don't get old, but we're planning on dragging really out for God knows how long?
2-year contract.
We're in the group chat planning a fucking arc on really.
It's true.
The thing with really is that we've seen positive feedback, but some people don't like really. I don't know. I'm sorry. If you don't like really, you're trapped. You're trapped for as long as this podcast exists, especially the course of the next 2 years.
Get it. I think they just don't get it.
Shut up. It's too much to get really.
It's too meta.
It's really deep.
So here's our
really philosophical. It's just too deep for you to understand.
I'm glad you interrupted me 10 times just to finish that sentence. Thank you, bitch.
Yeah, read the thing because we got to go.
Let's talk about really some more.
It's not really a fortune so much a statement. You have a reputation for being straightforward and honest. It's not true, but I guess it's my fortune.
Yeah, what the cookie says.
All right, but lucky numbers, that's the more important thing. 43, 40, 41, 5, 44, 22. Sounds like the lost code.
I've noticed in my life that fortune cookies have started to become less fortune-y and more oriented towards just like something you'd read on like an Instagram inspiration account.
Yeah, it was like a self-affirmation, really. It wasn't anything to do with the fortune. Didn't tell me what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, but like I feel like I used to get fortune cookies and be like, you will come into great wealth at some point. And be like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And now it's just like, look inside you. The answer you seek may be closer than you think.
Yeah, and that's not a fortune.
No, it's just like that's something you'd see on Instagram over a picture of a sunset.
Exactly, it's lame.
All right, well... We got some good audience questions that we're going to save because there were some other good ones, but it's Comic-Con. It was a lot to talk about. My phone's going to die, so anything else? Last comments, Trill?
Oh, new segment. It's called Eating with Ken Jack. Ken Jack, what are you eating?
Some General Tso's chicken and vegetable fried rice. Here.
All right. That concludes today's segment, Eating with Ken Jack.
All right.
We got Mamma Mia 2. We've all seen it. I think we got varying opinions. Well, I know Jeff and I are on the same page. Ken Jack, maybe not so much. I really enjoyed it. I'm excited about our episode this week, but I'm also excited to see Mission Impossible Fallout. That's the main course.
That was okay. But yes, next week.
I think you're going to say what I expected, which is more than I would have expected a week or two ago, which is I think we're all going to have a very like similar opinion. Seems like the audience likes it. Anyway, my phone's going to die. Mission Impossible. See that later in the week, but also before this Thursday podcast. See Mamma Mia, here we go again. And see Equalizer 2 for Trill and Kendrick. I'm Jeff. We will talk to you later in the week.
Have a good week at the box office. Dreams. Yeah.